Hey, Supernatural fans, I don't know about you, but this episode was shocking to me, and I can't wait to talk all about it with you, with my co-host. We're going to come at you right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin. Secret
agent man. Oh, man, I love this song. I just felt like it was perfect for this episode. No. Kind of like there were secret agent-y things.
No,
Dr. Huss is kind of agent-y.
No, this is amazing, and I'm really glad that you picked this song because it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love this song.
Guys, look who's back. I'm back with Alexis.
Hi, guys. I'm sorry. I was...
sorry, that's me.
No, it's all good. We just got to try to keep the chat so that we can read it.
I know. We want the chat up so we can talk to you guys.
Heck yeah.
We're talking all about Supernatural, Season 12, Episode 17, The British Invasion.
Invasion!
I'm Lindsay Wagner. You guys can find me on all things social media and tweet me at Lindsay Wagner. That's LindseyWegner. And I'm joined by Alexis Torres.
I'm happy to be back. I'm sorry I was sick last week, but it's all good from here. You guys can find me all over the interwebs at atorres890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890.
Guys, Alexis, just tell me, I had a whole lot of hand in front of my face because I was shocked through most of the episode.
You guys.
Adam was going to be here today, but he had a little emergency dental work to get done, so he's unable to be here. But
I hope he's okay.
He's good.
Okay.
He's going to survive.
Okay, good.
He was just worried. He's like, I might be dribbling and drooling on camera. So
no, that's fine. Totally makes sense. But also, he's clearly not fine in the show.
Nope. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, if you haven't watched the episode, get out.
Okay, yes. Tell me what you thought.
So I was watching it, just enjoying. I had some popcorn. I had some soda. I was enjoying. Everything was great. I was like, yeah, you stand up to... Oh, my God! And, like, literally, everybody in the studio was like, shh. And I was like, I'm sorry. What just happened? This is not fair. I'm really mad because I wanted this character to last until the end, like, the very end. I mean, I knew he was going to die eventually. Not this early. And I'm very upset he didn't get to finish his speech. There's a lot... I'm gesturing iTunes to my everything because my everything is hurt. Wounded, and I don't like it.
And last week I had talked with Adam, who plays Mick, about how he had that moment of being human where he was trying to decide whether to shoot someone or not, and now we were getting even more of the real human, like, compassionate side. And
sucks.
I'm
upset.
It wasn't meant to be. I'm upset. I'm upset about a lot of things in this episode.
Correct.
And let me tell you, somebody being in bed with someone else was also very upsetting.
I bet. Yeah.
So let's talk about this episode so we can discuss these things.
So many things.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So I was waiting for this to happen. We get a little flashback to outside of London in 1987. We see
you mean Hogwarts?
Yeah, Hogwarts. I was like, I've never even seen Harry Potter, and I go, this is Hogwarts, right? Because they got the capes and everything.
It's very close. Like, their capes were like, I don't know if they were floor length because they were children. I couldn't remember, but
they were like mid-calf.
Okay, yeah. No, in Harry Potter, they're like all the way down to the ground, but pretty freaking close. Just, you just didn't have different colors for different houses.
Okay.
Yeah,
it was just. I will like Harry Potter one day when I watch it.
I think you will. Just at least watch the first two. You'll be fine. Okay. It was interesting, but it also explains a lot of the Men of Letters.
I knew right away that was Mick. That was going
really?
By Michael.
I thought it was.
Yep.
I thought it was
Mr. Ketch.
Yeah.
You know, I knew it was. I knew it was. They were going to short. Mick. You don't just name your kid Mick.
Correct. No,
I mean,
right.
I guess unless you're Mick Fleetwood, but even Mick Fleetwood, I bet I'm not quite sure which Fleetwood, which was in last week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
Throwback.
Goes full freaking circle.
So I knew it was actually Mick. I had the feeling it was somebody that was important.
Interesting.
And they're going to the headmistress's office. It's the Kendrick School. One of the boys will move forward in their training. Only one of them will be leaving the room. And she leaves this knife on the table.
See, I definitely didn't think that was going to happen. I thought she was going to kill one of the kids. I thought that's what it was. No. But no, she was like, no, you figure it out.
She's going to make them do it because this is going to start this whole code and obeying and doing what you're told. And he comes out and he says he fought well. He didn't want to die. And Mick wakes up from having this horrible nightmare from his childhood.
It's insane.
And he's been doing this. And yeah. Following this code. And I like also finding out how he got involved in the British Men of Letters later on. We've got, then we get back to normal time. Sam and Dean are on the road. They're FaceTiming with Eileen, who,
I love her.
Yeah, she lost her parents to the Banshees, so she started working as a hunter for revenge. And she's got some info on Kelly Klein and security footage of her, and we assume that it's Dagon.
Mm-hmm.
Sam and Dean get to the bunker, and Mick's already there waiting for them.
Already drunk.
Because keys apparently work. Their keys work in any Men of Letters house. And apparently, well, we know Mick had no idea about Kelly's pregnancy. So he's a little bit freaked out about this. And he goes, I would have shot her.
Yeah.
And we're back to him killing the werewolf last week.
Yep.
And not thinking about the potential consequences and if there's actually some good or bad. And Lucifer is summoning Dagon. All is well with his son, and Kelly will last as long as she's needed. And Lucifer tells Dagon not to fail him again.
Yeah, I want to know what she did. Yeah, or what Dagon did, technically, since their vessels are just vessels. But yeah, I'm very intrigued to see what happens. Because it was weird, because when we first introduced to Dagon, it looked like she was really trying to help Kelly, even though she was clearly under orders. But it's very interesting to see her just being like, I'm literally just here to protect you for now. But it's not really for you. It's mostly for the baby. Also, I don't want to get in trouble with Lucifer, period. Also, we'll get to that scene with Lucifer and him talking to Crowley and licking the floor. I was not a fan of that.
Yeah, we'll come back to that.
But yeah, I'm very intrigued to see how their relationship and how this baby is going to grow as this season continues, because I don't like it.
it's making me, especially when we saw her at the end of the episode,
mm-hmm.
it really, another just twist. This episode was one of the best of this season so far, because it completely furthered the story in so many different ways, like everything, minus Cass. We really got a little bit of everything in this episode, which is always so nice, because it feels like it's all tied up with a bow, even if bad things are happening.
Yeah, but that's supernatural, though.
Mick's having another nightmare. The other boy, we see him trying to convince Mick not to do it, but all he can hear on the back of his head is the headmistress's voice saying, only one of you can leave. His phone rings, and it's her saying he didn't check in last night, which explains why the other night he had to go back to his room at 5 o'clock to write this report and to call and do all of that. And Lady Bevel believes that Sam and Dean are hopeless, and Dr. Hess thought that getting the Winchesters meant all the U.S. hunters would be on board. She knows about the Nephilim, and the situation needs to be settled now. Sam and Dean either need to obey Mr. Ketch, or she will take care of them, and it's back to assimilate or eliminate.
Oh, man. She is one scary lady with great legs.
I saw somebody in the chat write, I want to see what happens with Dean and Mr. Ketch. Because that's going to be the showdown at the end. That's what they're thinking.
Yeah, no, and I agree. I think that it's kind of been boiling up to that point. Because I really can't see Sam fighting Mr. Ketch at all. But I can definitely see Dean being like, you killed him, and then just, like, go into it.
It's got to be Dean.
It's going to be good.
But I don't even think they're going to fight next episode.
No. Because it looks like, even from the previews, I don't think we even get Men of Letters at all in that episode, which I'm fine with. It's good to take a little bit more Monster of the Week and then get back into the heavy stuff.
I can't take another week of what happened this week.
Oh, my God, that was too much.
It's too hard.
Yeah.
So the next scene, we earlier saw that Mick was already drinking, and so Sam and Dean sit down to drink with them. Dean is asleep on the kitchen, passed out on the kitchen table.
I love that.
And he goes, man, that Mick can drink. When they ask about Mary, Mick says, don't worry, Mary and Mr. Ketch make a great team.
Oh, my God.
Can't erase from my memory.
Yeah.
Mick, and then this is where we hear a little bit more of the backstory with Mick. Him being on the street, and he pickpocketed a man of letters who thought that he would actually be good, and they enrolled him in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And he really had no family.
Yeah.
Which, I think, makes us understand a little bit more of why he's completely obeying the headmistress, because she's always looked out for him and taken care of him. She's given him his only way of life.
Yeah.
And protected him. So you can kind of understand.
No, and I completely understand. It makes sense because this is what he grew up with. It's a product of his environment, you know, but I'm also proud that obviously it took Sam and Dean and their wisdom to break him from that, and that he finally learned that, hey, I'm an adult, you know, I need to make my own decisions and not let this terrible person rule my life.
And there are good and there are bad, and it's not necessarily that he's not always making the right decision or the best decision, it's just that sometimes there's a greater power, a greater purpose, or a greater good, and people can be saved. You don't need just to eliminate everybody like she thinks.
Yeah, and the fact that, like, you need to, you know, again, the fact that he doesn't even really make his own decisions in that way, and the fact that he has to see everything in black and white, you know, it's just, I'm really glad that he was kind of, even till the end, that he was kind of foiling back and forth of just, like, what he really wanted and what, you know, his way of living. Because I can just imagine being, one, the fact that he killed his best friend, that right off the gate can mess up a child that young, and then probably doing it more, I mean, not his best friend, but killing continuously throughout his life. Like, ugh, I don't blame him for the reasons of why he acts the way that he acts. But I'm also glad that he tried, if that makes sense.
Well, Kelly is starting to feel uncomfortable with this pregnancy. It's I mean, think about it. She hasn't seen a doctor up until this point.
Yeah, well, I mean, I also don't blame her because she doesn't really have a normal human baby.
No, but that's crazy. Because if she's that worried about the child, like she said, and she ran away from them, I mean, whether or not you know what the child is, you're still going to go. I don't know. I think that's crazy. She feels so connected with the baby yet, and she's so concerned for it, but yet she's not concerned about going. Like, you can't just go to a doctor.
I just also think that in supernatural science, I don't think that she was actually thinking about it. I think, at least from her defense, I feel like she's just always on the run. So she's just like, I'm just going to keep going along. And then now that she's feeling pain, she's like, oh, crap, I've messed up. I really should have seen a doctor earlier. I'm going to go see them now. I mean, this doctor definitely told her that she's fine and wanted to check her out anyway. Well, until
he saw something on the sonogram. The doctor's name was, I got it, I can't find it. Yeah. Dr. Turner.
Yeah.
Saw something on the sonogram, and Dagon quickly jumps in and uses her powers to...
Her Jedi-like powers.
Her Jedi-like powers.
So not the droids you're looking for.
Everything seems A-okay. And then he asks about the father, and we cut.
I love how it was just like a dun-dun-dun, like, moment. It was very sitcom-y of them. But yeah, it was also... I also want to know what's on the sonogram.
Did he just notice
that
it
was a demonic baby, or what?
That its heart is beating, or that it's... A groan?
I don't know.
What? Yeah, I want to know what the...
And we'll never... Well, at least for now, we'll never know, because clearly our doctor is not in anymore.
Nope. And this is where we get to the part that made Alexis uncomfortable, made me a little uncomfortable.
Oh, my God.
Lucifer shackled. This Crowley throws a ball onto the ground, asking if he wants to play. And... Oh, Lucifer gets down on the ground and he starts licking it.
Like, I didn't even... At first, I thought he was trying to get the ball with his mouth, and I was like, okay, sure, whatever. But then, that's definitely not what he was doing, and of course, in supernatural fashion, they, like, zoom in, like, really close.
I want to know what they put down. Mark Pellegrino.
It looked like... It's weird. I mean, it's weird to say, but it looked like brownie mix. Like raw brownie mix was what it looked like to me.
I would lick that off the floor.
That's what I'm saying. So I feel like that would make sense, but, like, I don't want to get into it. That was just me, because I'm like, I'm hungry. But... It just really creeped me out, because I was just like, why are you licking the floor? And he was like, oh, to show that I'm submissive. I'm like, there could have been so many different ways for you to show that you're submissive besides licking the floor.
Well, there's always a plot. And so remember, gross. You know, he thinks that he's ahead of Crowley. Crowley thinks he's ahead of him. Crowley, I think, is hopefully preparing for this. We're going to come back to this a little bit later. But he does submit to Crowley, Lucifer. He says it's Crowley's game and his rules. He'll work with that. Crowley wins. What now, sire?
As soon as he said, you win, I was like, Crowley,
if you believe this...
I'm going to be very upset because I know you're smarter than this. I know that you've been in his position before, so please understand that this man, Lucifer, doesn't just bow down to anybody just because you happen to have a spell on his vessel. That is not how that works. He is conniving. Like, I really hope, that that's not how he's going to portray it. I'm going to be really upset.
Well... I think he's ahead of it.
But I hope so.
Hopefully. Mr. Catch calls Mick and says that he and Mary killed not 7, but 8 shapeshifters. And Mary actually asks about Mick, and Mr. Catch said they went to school together. So obviously they didn't have to kill one another. And Mr. Catch is definitely flirting with Mary and says she's drawn to danger. And I just go, oh my God, wait. Last week she's in bed with somebody. No. She can't be in bed with Mr. Catch. He makes some drinks. They cheers. Before we get to what else happened there, Mick's at the Men of Letters bunker. Rennie Rawlings shows up and says he works for Dr. House and he graduated top of his class.
I was going to say, I'm like, did you know that he was top of his class?
Oh, yeah. Did you? He was top of his class. No, I didn't. I don't care.
All right. I didn't know
that. How many people didn't care?
I love that.
Most of them didn't
care. I love that Sam didn't say anything. He was just like, oh, okay. But I love that
she called him. Eileen called him out on it. Dean called him out on
it. It was great. Yep,
it was amazing. Mm-hmm. She thought they could use an extra set of hands. So he's now on deck. Dr. Turner is killed by a demon who asks for the patient files and deletes the patient files.
Yep.
Dean is on the phone, leaving a voicemail for Cass. Sam and Eileen are talking about getting everyone's license plate numbers, and she figures out that this Dermot guy is actually working for Dagon. He's the demon that just killed Dr. Turner. Eileen was able to track them and able to get Dagon's phone number, so we know that she's got that. Okay, so now we've got... This is the interesting part. Crowley's talking to the minions and about Lucifer coming back, but Crowley says that Lucifer has been humbled. Crowley's tamed him by Lucifer's own free will. Let me just make sure I'm getting all this right, guys. Lucifer says there's only one true ruler of hell. He starts winking at the minions.
Mm-hmm.
And as he says this, then his eyes flash red and he tells all the minions that they will endure a horrible agony if they disobey Crowley, and then kind of turns around.
I mean, he didn't really say Crowley. He said the
man in charge.
Yeah, like the new king or the person, the rightful, you know, king of hell. And I was just like, I feel like he was talking about himself, but because his back is towards Crowley, that you can't really tell what's happening. So I did like that interaction. I do like that Lucifer is obviously up to no good. I really freaking hope that Crowley is on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also intrigued to see what the minions do. I mean, clearly they're probably just going to play along, but I'm also just like, who's going to slip? Who's just going to accidentally say something, and then Crowley's going to find out if he doesn't already know?
Yeah, let's not skip ahead to what he says to the minion just yet.
Yeah.
Kelly calls Dagon to pick up some things she needs for her pregnancy. Sam calls Kelly using a fake accent.
What the hell was that voice?
I loved it. It was amazing.
So weird. I mean, I do love it too. I was just like, what's happening?
They tell her that she has to meet them at the the doctor's office. It's Oliver from the doctor's office at 5:00 to just discuss her charge and her pregnancy. This is when Mick and Rawlings show up, and they have the cult with them.
Oh, so nice to see that again. So now we've got
Sam and Dean, Eileen, Rawlings, and the cult, and Mick.
Yep.
All together. No, not Dean.
Went to go pick up Kelly.
So as Kelly's walking to the doctor's office, Dean intercepts her, brings her to everyone. No one cares about Rawlings and where he graduated in his class. LOL.
Yeah.
And Kelly says she loves the child, but Mick says the child will kill everyone. And as Rawlings reaches for his gun, Dean stops him.
Yeah.
Okay. So we know the orders from Dr. Hess and the elders are to kill this woman. And that's even essentially what Mick thought about doing, but is questioning it because of Sam and Dean.
Correct.
Rawlings doesn't give a
He doesn't give a flying F,
About any of this. So he doesn't care. He's going to kill it. Dagon shows up and the wind kind of starts to blow.
I love that Kelly knew that she was like, she's here. And I was like, oh my God, they've been around that long. That
they're
they just
like,
know.
The feels. Well, it's also technically because it's a Prince of Hell. I feel like it's
you can probably tell.
Evil's connected in there.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
She kind of like brushes them off.
So cool.
Even Dean and Mick, who are shooting at her, nothing is.
No.
It's not even phasing her.
I was scared that her vessel was messed up and she would have to find a new one, but we didn't really get that. It looked like she was fine.
She would completely heal herself.
Yeah.
Eileen and Rawlings go for the gun.
Oh, God.
And as Eileen shoots the gun right at Dagon, she disappears into thin air, leaving the open shot straight into Rawlings' heart, who bleeds and dies.
I'm sorry. I was okay with that.
Yeah, I was okay with it too, but I still said, oh shit!
Yeah, no, like for real. I was like, oh crap, that's.
Like, how did that just happen? Oh, no, because I wasn't even. I didn't. Sorry, Rawlings. I didn't really care about you.
No, I didn't either.
I was more concerned with, okay, Mick is already toeing the line here. This is not going to help Sam and Dean's case.
Nope.
At all.
Nope.
And is not going to put him in a good position with Dr. Hess.
Yeah, because I was trying to figure out what the punishment was if a man of letter dies, which we definitely got. Mm-hmm. So I'm very intrigued to see. I mean, well, we found out what happened, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, I want to know if they're just going to send more.
Eileen apologizes, Mick picks up the gun and wants to shoot her, says that she killed the men in letter, so she must die. Sam and Dean try to stop him, and Eileen says, please don't. This is part of the code they have to answer to. And this is when Sam starts speaking to him and saying, Mick only needs to answer to his own code. He puts the gun down and tells them all to go. But before that even happens, I think Sam really pleads with him. And makes him believe this is your decision. This is your choice. You don't need to answer to anyone. What's good? What's evil? Follow your heart.
Right.
Is this the right thing? It was an accident. It wasn't. She didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah, and it's very intriguing to see him kind of like eye shift and toy with his own thoughts and trying to figure out what he did. But I'm also proud that he put the gun down after. I love that he made Dean put the gun down. Also, he was like, "This is not." You know, you need to think about what you're about to do. And it was just a really good scene, you know?
It was a really good scene. He's really conflicted.
Yeah, and of course, Sam has always been the voice of reason in that aspect. So it's really nice to see him able to bring him down.
He's also the one that encouraged Dean to work with Mick. So he's kind of got to be the one taking care of
everything.
The code is stupid. # the code is stupid, casket fan.
No, correct. The code
is
stupid.
Yes, it is. So this is where we come to another awkward, like, my mom and dad. Like,
so gross.
Gross.
So gross.
Mary's cleaning herself up as Mr. Ketch is in bed.
Oh, my God. He's, like, having, what was he?
This was unexpected, as life is full of surprises.
Gross. Please go die in a hot fire.
Gross. Gross. As he, like, sits there
with his leg up.
One leg like this, kind of just like, draped in the sheet. And
I was like, what era are we in right now?
Hashtag Mr. Catch right here.
Oh, my God.
Like, I feel like a fireplace should have been lit.
Right? And him having a cigarette? Like, that's what I wanted.
Gross. Yes, you guys.
I mean, I'm happy for Mama Winchester, because I was like, hey, get it in. You know,
I mean,
whatever.
Hey.
But not with Mr. Catch. Anybody else.
I would have been happy if it was her and Mick.
Oh, that would have been nice.
I initially thought that it was potentially going to be them.
No, I knew from the get-go that those two were going to get together. I just didn't want to witness it. I just wanted it to happen in the background and we just move on with our lives. But no, I also didn't need naked model Mr. Ketch on the bed. I was just like, all right, buddy.
Yeah.
Put it away.
And Mr. Ketch thought that he would actually end up shooting her. He didn't think this was even going to be, like, work out. And she kind of goes, look, you realize that this means nothing.
I'm so proud of her.
And he says he's not built for that, but you almost see a sense of...
It looks like he's a little hurt.
A little bit hurt maybe by that, but then recovers and says, you know, he's not built for that. And she says she was, but that was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of talk about whether she's choosing the boys or whether she's choosing hunting or what it is. And she's not. She's choosing everyone. She's choosing everything. You don't have to choose. This whole episode was about choices.
Decisions.
And decisions, yes.
It was so good. I was really happy about that. She's like, I don't need to make a decision. I'm going to do whatever I want. And I was like, yes.
That's right.
Yes, Mama Winchester, except for sleeping with Mr. Ketch, though. You need to stop it.
If the boys knew that happened.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? God. Especially after what they...
Oh, yeah. No, Dean's going to freak out.
I can't. Oh, my God.
It's something... Ooh. He's going to be able to tell. At some point, he's going to see the two of them, and he's going to...
Yeah, especially because Mom's going
to
be
and
all
you're
like,
going to see his face, and all of a sudden, it's going to register and click to him, and he's going to look at Sam.
And he's just going to
And they're going to have that moment of, like, eye contact, and they're both going to be like...
just like dry heaving.
I want to see it happen. Please, Supernatural writers, make that happen because I want to see that awkward tension.
Oh man, it's gonna be so good.
All right, another tough spot right here.
Do we have to talk about it?
Lucifer and one of the minions.
Oh, never mind.
Let's talk about that first.
Okay, I was like, I'm not ready.
Lucifer's talking to one of Crowley's minions. Who we got a lot of shirtless guys. No Sam and Dean, but shirtless Mark Pellegrino.
I know what's happening.
Shirtless David Hayden. Jones? I think his last name is Jones.
I think it's Jones.
Examining Lucifer's body, says the vessel is sound and the repairs are secure. The system that Crowley is using is intact, but Lucifer wants this minion to disarm it. Mm. The problem is, the guy who designed the suit is dead, which was smart.
Freaking smart.
On Crowley's part. You kill the person who created it, so there's no going back and no fixing it. It's kind of like Maleficent's spell.
Yeah, no.
Saying this can't be broken. No, nothing can break this except true love's first kiss or whatever it is.
No, you're correct. No, I think that, like I said, Crowley is smart. He has his moments. I just don't understand that he gets tricked so easily. That's the thing that makes me so angry, is that's why he ends up getting into these terrible binds, is because he just, I don't know what happens, but the planning, though, most of his planning is really freaking good.
He's a step ahead.
Oh, God.
But Crowley's, or Lucifer's right behind him, though, on this, which is why we had to, so the minion is going to try and figure this out because Lucifer's going stir crazy and is getting very, very impatient. And he's about to be a dad.
Gross.
And we see this, like, joy and his face light up, which I always think it's so nice when you see somebody doing something so serious and even for a moment, they, like, can change it without it being
awkward.
Contrived.
Yeah.
Because it could be very easy to go hokey on that, but it's not. Like, he's genuinely happy about being a dad. Mm-hmm. This is where I think that Crowley is already prepared for this. He already knew that Lucifer was going to try and get the minions on his side. And he's already prepped and planned for this, which is why he killed the guy who created the suit.
Sure.
But I think he's also got backup plans.
I mean, again, that's my hope. I'm really hoping that he is just on top of it from every... Because, I mean, like, the fact that we were all surprised when we found out that he had that spell on the vessel, and the fact that he killed the guy who did the spell, I'm just hoping that... I really want Crowley to just be a smarter person these next few seasons. That's all I want, guys. And obviously, for Mama Winchester to last through this season. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know. I'm hoping for the best.
The next thing we see is Dean and Sam and Eileen back at the bunker. Eileen feels bad because she killed Rawlings and he wasn't a monster. Sam said it was just a mistake, which it was. And then there's a hug. And I felt like hugged him, I hate to say this, as a fan.
Oh, yeah. Like
I saw how she hugged him.
That's
how I'd hug him too.
But I mean, also let's be real. Those smiles and giggles that they've been chuckles that they've been flirting back and forth. Come on.
Yeah.
So do we want this? I love how Dean was just like, "That's adorable," and I was like, "Shut up, Dean. Let them have their moment."
Adorable. Dagon has now, chained Kelly to the bed because she can't be trusted, and this is where we got another little tidbit of information. So Dagon says the baby's strong and will be just fine. But Kelly won't. The weird pains are a taste of what's yet to come because birthing a Nephilim is fatal.
Yeah. I don't know
always.
How she didn't... I don't understand.
Every time.
I don't know how she thought that she was going to survive and take care of this baby. I'm like, that baby's going to rip you in half. Like, please. Please. I mean, that's sad, but it's going to happen. This is not a normal child. And also, you already... No, I'm not going to get into the weird discussions of childbirth, but like, yeah, no. No, 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 no. That baby's gonna kill you.
This is...
Sorry.
I mean, it just keeps getting, her fate keeps getting worse and worse. And this was her decision that she wanted to do. And I mean, at this point, she's not going to back out now. So hopefully Sam and Dean can come to the rescue and save the day and somehow figure out a way to make this less painful for her.
C-section?
I don't know.
I don't know, take it surgically, remove it?
I mean, what if they do? Okay, we'll just get into that predictions.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, don't let me forget. What if they kill her? What happens to the baby inside of her? Can it live on its own? Don't let me forget that.
I mean, I think, yeah, we'll get there. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, first off, let's go back to Sam and Dima next morning, because I can't even talk about Mick just yet.
Yeah, I don't want
to. Sam and Dima next morning, still no word from Castiel. Sam says that Eileen is heading back to Ireland to take some time off, which is obvious.
Yeah.
And Sam and Dean still have the cult, which was supposed to go back to Mick.
Oh, well.
Which was supposed to go back. That's not happening anymore.
Welcome back, sweetheart. I love that.
So, all right, let's talk about the saddest part of the episode.
I don't want to talk about it.
Mick's back at the British Men of Letters bunker. Mr. Ketch is there. Dr. Hess has called them both there. She doesn't leave London ever, but she was tasked by the other elders because of a deteriorating situation.
Whatever.
She doesn't believe that he's doing the best that he can. She says the hunters are out of control, especially Sam and Dean. Hunters are dogs. Give them an order, and they obey. Obviously, that's how it works, and that's not how it's working in this situation.
I'm like, that's not how it ever works.
She basically says that Eileen's going to be found and killed because of the code, and this is just normal. But they'll go for Sam and Dean, and if found guilty, will be executed. Yeah. And this is where Mick jumps in and goes, if they're found guilty, everyone's found guilty. So yep, they're all going to be executed. And he starts to question whether she's really this voice of all the things.
Mm-hmm.
And he questions her and said that he was initially shocked by how Sam and Dean operated things. But in the end, they've saved so many people and they're following what's right. The code is what separates the Men of Letters from the monsters and the order they all live. And that's what she says.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
And what he says is the code is what makes a young boy kill his best friend.
Mm-mm.
He's a man now. He's not a boy anymore. He sees the choices and he wants to choose to do the right thing.
Oh my God.
And then the shot rings out.
That was just absolutely completely caught me off guard, even though I had a feeling something was building up to it. But I didn't think it was going to happen right then and there. I thought he was going to walk out. She was going to give him, Mr. Ketch, a look. We would have him, like, I don't know, going up to the bunker, grabbing books, and turn around, and they would have, like, this dramatic altercation where he was just like, can't believe you're going to do this to me after all we've been through, or something like that. And he's just like, well, I have to take orders. Clearly you can't. And then shoot. Like, I thought there was going to be more chatting. I definitely wasn't expecting a shot to just ring out, and he was just dead. Headshot. Done.
I feel like because Mr. Ketch was there already, he had had the conversation with Dr. Hess that if Mick didn't fall in line, yeah,
to kill him,
then you kill him without question. And obviously, at this point, we have to get the people that are answering and doing
correct,
following the code, keep correct them forward. I literally was so shocked. I sent Adam a text message of my face, and I was just like, what? And he goes, I know, sad, right? And I go, I can't right now.
Like, I can't.
Nuh-uh.
No, it was rough. Like I said, like, everyone in the studio told me to shut up because I screamed. Like, so,
well, it was shocking.
Yeah. I mean, I apologize for being so loud, but at the same time, I was just like, that was insane. I know that this season has been, like, I've loved most of the seasons of Supernatural. This season has been top-notch. Especially down to the, like, this is my, whoa.
They keep raising the stakes.
And it's beautiful.
Every time. It just keeps building more and more. You know, Sam and Dean are finally on board with the Men of Letters. Mm-hmm. And then the guy that convinces them, and the one they like.
is dead.
Is
and the
killed.
One they don't like.
And the one they don't like just killed him. And is sleeping with their mom.
Ah! Gross.
And they haven't even met Mrs. Hess yet, or Dr. Hess yet, who says that it's over. The experiment of recruiting American hunters has failed. She tells Mr. Ketch to exterminate them, every last one, and drops down Dean's file.
Yeah, and that's so dramatic. Yeah. Woof.
Oh, guys. I'm just, it's been, I wore black in mourning.
I'm wearing my Star Wars shirt because it's an awesome shirt. Lila in yes, the chat said, do not root for a character in Supernatural because they die. And I'm like, yep.
I know. Every you're time. Right, Lila.
But I liked Mick, though.
I did, too.
I definitely thought he was going to move the story along. But
he grew on me. And plus, he was in here last week, and he's just so charming and just nice.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Whatever. It's fine. It's okay.
We get so attached to them that when they kill them off, it's
rough. Especially, it's we've had rough. A whole season.
You get attached to people that are in one episode, and it's kind of disappointing. But then you have somebody that's in the whole season.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
that's
over
rough.
Half of the episodes, and you do feel connected to them, and then they're gone. I mean, it like I said, it ups the stakes. It creates more drama. It creates something else for them to write. The writing is just on par, like on top right now. It's
gonna
it's
be
insane.
So good.
So good. Next week we see that a monster, a goat-like dude,
so creepy.
Is going after people, and the sheriff has a god in his basement as a sacrifice. So we're getting a monster episode next week. Doesn't look like we'll see Mr. Ketch or Dr. Hess or even.
That's fine.
I mean, we may get a little bit of Lucifer and the minions, seeing if there's any progress there. Maybe we'll see Cass in heaven. But my big, let's get into some predictions.
Sure.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
Billie Jean,
I
was on the same boat. I can't say it, but
Billie
yes.
Jean, we are with you.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's actually my text tone right now. I go, son of a
biscuit.
Yeah.
That's what we all said, son of a biscuit.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, predictions. So here's what I'm thinking.
Go for it.
So if they kill this Nephilim, or they kill Kelly, can the Nephilim survive without her right now? Or if they kill her, she's the Nephilim's dead.
I think that they can probably still try to cut him out, I think, at this point, because I'm assuming she's probably, what, 8 months, probably? Maybe seven?
I'm going to go seven, maybe six.
Okay, so maybe 6, 7 months, maybe not. But I think if they get to 8, and they, let's say...
It could survive.
Because that was my prediction, that someone was going to kill her at 8 months, and think, oh, we did it, you know? And, of course, Sam and Dean are going to be upset that she died, and then the Nephilim is still going to be a thing. But I hope that we don't get a weird, like, alien, like, coming out. That'd be really awkward.
Is there some sort of spell that Rowena would be able to do?
I thought Rowena was like, I'm done, y'all. I'm not doing this anymore.
Well, she definitely doesn't want to be involved, but there's got to be something that she can do.
I agree. Yeah, I don't know. I would think so. Or maybe they might ask Rowena to help free Lucifer, maybe? Possibly?
I don't know.
I mean, it could go either way, especially because Rowena is such a big player. I mean, even though she's not involved at the moment, but like she's a key player that they could use either way. You can either use it to save her, or you can use it to save him. You can go either way. I think that Mr. Ketch, when Sam and Dean find out about it, I'm not quite sure if he's going to survive to the end, but I'm going to be... I think Mama Winchester might
have to kill her lover.
Yeah. Or she'll be like, you know, he was taking orders or something, and it'll be like mom against the boys again, and it'll be very interesting.
It's going to be really interesting because now all of a sudden you've got me thinking, well, what if Mr. Ketch kills her?
That's what I'm saying.
He has to exterminate, so either she's going to die or he's going to die.
But I think because of the fact that we had that weird twinge of love in his eye, that maybe he might not.
He won't be able to go through
with
it.
He won't be able to go through with it.
I hope so.
Yeah, but you never know. Maybe towards the end, he might do it. And then he, you know, I don't know. It can go either way at that point. But I feel like there's definitely going to be hesitation. I don't think he's just going to kill her right off. There's no way. I think that's why they showed the fact that he was able to kill Mick so easily, that he's not going to be able to do it with Mama Winchester.
We've got 6 more episodes.
Well, I think we're going to get at least probably 2 or 3 that are filler. Not filler, but you know what I mean, Monster of the Week.
I would definitely say 2.
2 for Monster of the Week, and then 3 main plot, for sure.
Because, I mean, this exterminate them, though, you know, they're going to obviously, maybe Ketch is going to have to play along for a little bit to explain, you know, maybe, because he's going to have to explain Mick's death.
Correct.
So, we don't know if he's going to tell them what really happened.
I think he's going to lie.
But they'll have some sort of plan that they plotted out. But, I mean, they're going to have to play along with that. So maybe that's what happens in the next episode. There's a little bit of playing along with things. Maybe getting more information about the Nephilim to get close in on that. And then, God.
I mean, like, the great thing about this season, I feel, is the fact that we've been pulled in so many different directions. We don't know how it could turn out. We just have a bunch of predictions, which is everybody in the chat is all, you know, in all different places. I do agree that there is going to be a Dean Mr. Catch showdown for sure. Again, that could be the result of him killing Mama Winchester or not at this point. It doesn't, we don't really know. But definitely there's going to be someone who's going to get punched in the face because of Mick's death, if we ever learn about it towards the end. I'm hoping that maybe, Eileen? Did I say that right? Mm-hmm. That maybe she might be more involved. I think she might die, and Sam's going to be really sad, because, I mean, again, there's a big connection.
There's a connection there.
So I think that she's going to die. I know I wasn't here last week, but I love that Eileen is, or at least the actress who plays Eileen is in this, because I do love seeing more diversity.
Absolutely.
In TV shows. So I'm really happy that, one, that he knows how to sign.
That's and, great. Yeah, that knowing how to sign and adding that to it, not just having her speak, yeah. but actually having signing in it is really...
love that. It's great. I don't know if we've had that in Supernatural yet, but I'm definitely happy about that. But, yeah, I don't think she's going to survive to the end.
Maybe Lady Bevel will take care of her since she's in Europe.
I forgot about that. You don't know.
And we'll get a repeat appearance from her.
That'd be nice. I don't know. I definitely want Rowena back, and I definitely don't think either Mama Winchester or Eileen are going to make it to the end of this season.
And Castiel's going to have some say in this Nephilim. There's so much going on, you guys.
I don't even know what to do about Cass right now, because he's like MIA, so I'm like, I don't know what to do with you and your storyline. It's killing me slowly.
Well, we're still waiting for the cosmic results of him killing Billy.
Yeah, no, for real.
So that's going to be in the next few episodes. At some point, it's got to come
out. It's probably going to be right after this next one from next week, I think.
Oh, thanks, Drake Love. We love you, too.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Oh, man, this season is insane.
It's crazy.
I don't know what's going to happen.
All right, Alexis, where can everyone find you, chat with you, all the things?
You guys can find me all over social media at HORS890. That's ATORRES 890. Definitely catch me on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz TV. I just did Archer. I also have Into the Badlands on Wednesdays, the CW on the 100, also on Wednesdays, Jedi Alliance on our sister network, Popcorn Talk Network. And then Sense8 is in May 13th. So definitely check that out.
And this is Lindsay here. You guys can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all things social media, at Lindsay Wagner. That's LYNDSEYWEGNER, or my blog, lindsaywagner.blogspot.com. Real Housewives of New York just started up yesterday, so I will be doing that Wednesdays. We air live at 7:15 p.m. So thank you guys so much for joining us in the chat, sharing your thoughts and opinions, staying positive. Yeah. We love that. Big things happening. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.